You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Glad you're here tonight. I have to leave. Brother Doug's coming to preach. I hate to miss it, but he's going to do a great job. God bless y'all.
Hi, everybody. How y'all doing? Good, all right? Okay. I'll tell you what, this is cool compared to being outside. Yeah, this is what I'd say. Let's stand. Amen. Go find somebody that you haven't seen tonight. Give them a big hug. Say, I love you. I love you with the love of the Lord. Oh, now come on, give them a big hug. Give them a hug like they ain't never going to get another hug. Thank you. I needed that. God bless you. Amen. Find you a place if you would. Go ahead and sit down. And I may get you back up. one or two more times before this is all over. Pastor, they're like a big old spiritual snowball. Is that when y'all get going on that love, I call it a love snow. You may be seated. You may be seated. You get going, they're like a big snowball. They're hard to get stopped. Okay, you get to rolling downhill. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Well, Leland is out of town. I really don't know where he's at. Oklahoma. Okay. Yeah, he's gone to Oklahoma. And y'all be praying for him that him and Linda get up there and get back and bring some rain with them while they're coming. I'm tired of this. I told somebody today, I'm tired. I love West Texas weather, but I'm ready for some wet, for some rain. I'm tired of this. Every now and then, Leland gives me the opportunity to visit with y'all and to bless me, really, as much as we come to bless, but we get blessed. I was talking with Leland before he left this week, and I told him, I said, Leland, I said, you may never know, how much that the rec room blesses me. I said, I know that we think because we're pastors and all this that we're coming to do all this and do all that and bless people and do that, but I sure do get blessed a lot more than I bless others by coming down here on Thursday night. And Mr. Reynolds was saying he's been here about 7 years, and I've been hanging out about that long. I don't know. It was a few months after Lena started the rec room, and there was a real good friend of mine. Some of you probably still know or remember the name Joe Bell, but Joe was a vital part of the rec room, and he's a vital part of Clover House. Joe was one of the main leaders in the Clover House when they first got started, and Joe was my next door neighbor. Him and Donna lived right across the alley from me, and I've known him and Donna for many years. And Joe invited me to come go down to the rec room one night, and you haven't been able to get rid of me since, okay? So I appreciate it very much. And Leland, he's really a master at, I call it the master of a 20-minute message. He can get more in 20 minutes. I've told him before, and I've told other people, I said, I can do what Leland does, but I said, it just takes me an hour and a half. But he is really, really, really good at a 20-minute message, and he gets started, gets through it, and gets out of it, and gets a tremendous response. So trying to fill those shoes is a big old pair of shoes to fill, and I wouldn't even begin to try to replace him, but we're gonna have some good times here tonight. And I just wanted to say thank you to Pastor Johnny and Kathy. I is a pastor, okay? I is one. And pastors, we have to protect our pulpits. You just don't want to let anybody into your pulpit. It's not spiritually healthy just to let anybody step into your pulpit. And so I appreciate Pastor turning his pulpit over to me and to Leland to be able to share with y'all, and I appreciate that. Leland and I were kind of on two different ends of the spectrum when it comes to being pastors or teachers or preachers or whatever. He teaches one style. He's what we in the profession call an exegetical type teacher, a preacher, and that's kind of a $64,000 term. But Leland will take maybe one passage of scripture, or maybe even just one scripture, and he'll draw conclusions, and he'll draw inferences, and he'll draw all kinds of stuff. It just amazes me how that he's able to do that. And I'm kind of the other way, is that I'm what they call a topical type preacher, and I'm one that'll make a subject or make a statement, and then I'll run y'all over the Bible. I'll come up with about 20 to 50 different scriptures to prove my point. Okay, and both of us are I suppose it's good, but it's just different styles. It's just different style. So that's what I'm going to do tonight. Is I'm just going to share God's word with you. I'm just going to share a bunch of scriptures with you. And I believe that you will be blessed for it. I would ask you, because of time, we got about 25 or 30 minutes here. I'd ask you to just believe me in a couple of areas here. I'm going to tell you a couple of things, and I'm going to ask you just to take my word for it. But go home and look it up if you need to, but just believe me in this particular area. Is that number one is that we use the word, or we use the Bible as the unadulterated truth, and it's the word of God. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we as Christians and we as believers, we just believe that the Bible is the unadulterated truth, and it's the Word of God. And the second thing, and this is something that you just have to believe by faith, is that we use the Word to prove the Word. Okay, and so it's kind of all inclusive, and we use the word to prove the word, and it proves itself. And so that's something I'm just going to ask you just to kind of think about and to settle in and just to kind of accept that for tonight. Now I'm going to talk to you on a particular subject here. Now this particular subject, in maybe years past or with different denominations, and I came out of a denomination. I was born and raised AG all of my life up until I was probably about 27, 28 years old. I was born and raised Assembly of God and grew up in a denomination, and I'm thankful for that. All of my roots and all of my family and all of my teaching was based out of a denomination. But I found out that after I was 27 years old, I had another experience, another spiritual experience, is that I not only was saved, I got saved when I was real young. I was about 8 or 9 years old when I got saved, but I came onto another spiritual experience that the Bible talks about, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Notice I said with and not in the Holy Spirit, because two little bitty semantics or two little bitty words there, but it's a huge difference. And the Bible says that we're baptized with the Holy Spirit and not in the Holy Spirit. And when I realized the power that the Holy Spirit had, that was available to me, that was inside of my life, inside of my heart, it changed my life. It changed my life completely, and I was able to do the devil some damage from that point on. So I want to share that a little bit with you, and I've entitled a little bit of the thoughts here for this evening is, why do you need the baptism with the Holy Spirit? And I'm kind of a title person, or kind of a word person, if you would, and I've subtitled all you need is already in you. Okay, as a Christian and as a believer, all you need to do what? All you need to overcome temptations. All you need to live an abundant life. John 10:10. I call it the John 10:10 principle. He has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Everything that you need is already inside us as a Christian and as a believer. And if you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, well, we're gonna fix that before we get out of here tonight. But I'm believing that that those of us that are Christians, those of us that are believers, that you're gonna be changed tonight. Some of us are gonna be changed, because I'm gonna show you in Scripture. We use the word to prove the word. I'm going to show you in Scripture where you've got the power. You've got the power to overcome temptation. You've got the power to overcome sickness. You've got the power to overcome disease. You've got the power to overcome anything that the devil throws at you. If he comes, the Bible again tells us in John 10:10, he comes for one reason, and that's to kill, steal, and destroy. He just don't want you to have a bad hair day. He wants to take you out. He wants to kill you. But everything that you've got inside of you, the Bible tells us over in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 7, is you've not been given a spirit of fear. You've been given a spirit of power, and you've been given a spirit of love, and you've been given a spirit of a sound mind. That sound mind means self-discipline. And that's what a lot of us need, is just self-discipline to overcome the situations and circumstances that we run into a lot of times. Okay, if you would, let's stand. I'm going to read 3 or 4 scriptures here, if you would. The Bible says that the Word of God is holy. So I'm going to ask you to stand one more time for the reading of the Word. I'm going to read for you here, and I'm going to take you over to Matthew to begin with.
and read a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to take you over to Micah in the Old Testament. I'm going to take you over to Acts in the New Testament again. Matthew chapter number 11, and the Bible says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with," everybody say with, "he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." We'll come back to that scripture here in just a little bit. So if you got your Bible, mark that and hold it. Now, you're in Matthew. You're in chapter number 3. Go to chapter number 28. Slip on over to Matthew chapter number 28. And we're going to look at one verse there, verse number 19. The Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Okay, notice there's three different persons there. Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We're going to come back to that here in just a little bit too. Okay? Now I'm going to take you back over into the Old Testament right before you get to the New Testament, the little bitty book of Micah. And just the reason I wanted to read this is I want to show you is that the Spirit of the Lord was even present in Old Testament times. This would have been about 2700 years before Jesus Christ left, was dead, buried, and resurrected here on earth. So this is a long time ago. But in Micah chapter number 1, or excuse me, chapter number 3, and in verse number 8, Micah was telling the people of Israel, he said, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might." That judgment might, boy, we could spend some time on that. See, the Holy Spirit will give you the ability to make the right decision. Judgment. That's what judgment is, making the right decision. And then it'll give you might. It'll give you power to stick with it and to do that. Okay? "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sin." Okay, one more scripture and I'll let you set back down. Go back over to the New Testament again. Go back over to Acts chapter number 1 and look at verse number 8. The Bible says, and this is in red, and so that means it's Jesus' own words. It says, "But ye," talking to you and me, "but ye shall receive" what? "Power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both into Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Grab a hold of the hand of the person next to you. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We appreciate you and we thank you for everything that you do for us. Father, I just pray that over the next 15 to 18 minutes, dear Lord, that you just minister through your word to the people here tonight, dear Lord. Have it to be seed sown, dear Lord. Have it to be a word that they get down inside them, dear Lord, that they can use as a double-edged sword, because that's what your word says that your word is. It's a double-edged sword. And that front edge of the sword will keep the enemy at bay, dear Lord, but that back edge of the sword will prune us back and cut us back so that we can grow and mature and develop, and we'll be better witnesses, better Christians, and better believers for you. And we give you every bit of the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Okay, I told you we was going to go back to those scriptures. I'm going to go back to Matthew chapter number 3 and wanted to make sure that we understand that little four-letter word "with" is very important. A lot of people, and I've preached and I've taught, and a lot of times I get excited when I preach and I teach. There's a gentleman that goes to my church and has for many, many years. He said, "Pastor Doug, I think you're going to jump out of your skin sometimes because I get a little excited about the things of the Lord." And I may mess up tonight. And I may talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but I don't mean in. I mean with, okay? Because the Bible says with, and so if I say in, I mean with. Now, if you look at that same scripture there, Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 11, it says that we will be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Everybody say fire. fire. Now, the Bible is full of symbolism and the Bible is full of analogies. It just teaches us throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, all kinds of stuff through what we call symbolisms and analogies. And any time that you see that word fire, that's indicative of power. So when you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, that means that you've got some fire. You've got some power. Power for what? Like I said earlier, power to overcome evil, power to make the right decisions, power to come against temptation, power to come against anything that is coming against you as a Christian or as a believer. You have got the, everybody say, I got the power. I got the power. You got the power down inside you. And see, we need to know that. I have to know that sometimes. Sometimes I get to thinking that the devil's all this and the devil's all that. Folks, the devil ain't nothing. Okay? Now I know that's not good English, okay? But he ain't nothing. And I know I'm going to have to pay for this. When you get up, Pastor, when you get up preach like this and we talk like this, is that we're going to have to pay the dues that night or the next day or within the next few hours. You know, the old devil, he'll try to come at us and kill, steal, and destroy us. But you know, he is nothing but just like a little barking dog. And he just comes, you know what I'm talking about, one of them little chihuahua dogs. If you got a little chihuahua dog, I'm sorry. But they have a little chihuahua dog that's about this long and about this tall, and they just bark and they nip and they bite. They really can't do a lot of damage. They just make a lot of noise. Okay? Well, that's what the devil is. He just makes a lot of noise because he can't touch it because we've not been given that spirit of fear. We've been given that spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind because we've got that fire and we've got that down inside us because of the Holy Spirit. Now, I could run you back over to Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8 again, but understand that you had the Holy... Is that thunder I'm hearing? Daggone it. I was thinking it was thunder. Boy, I was about ready to start hooping and hollering, and we're gonna have a Holy Ghost revival right up here, okay? Where was I? I was talking about the power, wasn't I? Now, understand is that you've got that power. The minute that you get saved, the minute that you believe in your... I like to use Romans 10, 9 and 10. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Jesus from the dead, you are saved. Okay? Now, that God raising Jesus from the dead thing is very important because there's a lot of other gods. Muhammad, Buddha, Allah, there's all these other gods. But those gods are dead and bones are dried up and blown away. Our God is alive and well. Okay? So, if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says you're saved. And once you're saved, you've got that Holy Spirit down inside of you at that very moment. And you just need to realize that it's there. But some of you just need to activate it. Okay? You just need to know that it's down there. You need to activate it. You need to have that, what the Bible says, that baptism with the Holy Ghost to where you can use that power to your advantage to overcome evil. Make sense? Okay, boy, I hope y'all getting something out of this because this is good stuff. Okay? What I want to do is, as time allows, and we got about another 15 or 17 minutes here, I want to share some truths about the Holy Spirit with you. The first truth that I want to share with you is that the Holy Spirit is a person. A lot of times, and it may just be semantics or it may just be words, but even pastors and teachers or Christians will get to talking and we'll call the Holy Spirit an it. The Holy Spirit's not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit has feelings just like you and I do. Over in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit." If the Holy Spirit didn't have feelings, why does the Bible tell us don't grieve Him? Okay? So the Holy Spirit is a person. The Bible over in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse 19, it says, "Quench not the Holy Spirit." In other words, don't put the Holy Spirit out. Don't take the fire. Don't take the power out of the Holy Spirit. Allow that Holy Spirit that's inside of you as a Christian and as a believer, allow that to have its free way. Allow it to have its free reign in your life as Christians and as believers. The second truth here that I want to share with you is that who is this Holy Spirit? Well, let's look at what the Scripture says. The Bible bears this out, and I showed you that Scripture over in the 28th chapter of Matthew, and verse number 19. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." That's talking about the Trinity. Okay, and you won't find Trinity in the Bible anywhere, per se, but it's what theologians and preachers and pastors and Bible students, and men and women of God, refer to as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is the Trinity. They're all different, but yet at the same time, they're all the same. Okay, does that make sense? Now that may be a little hard to understand because that's kind of a supernatural thought. Because you say, how can it be different? How can it be same at the same time? Well, I don't know. But I know what the Bible says. Is that it says that there's three persons. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And they are all three just like fingers inside of a glove. And we use the word to prove the word. Remember that, okay? All right. Over in 1 Corinthians, talking about who the Holy Spirit is, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse number 14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." I feel like Jesus was a Texan. I really do, because he said y'all. Okay? So he's telling us here, and then at the end of that it says amen, which means so be it. Okay? So Paul wanted us to understand that this Holy Spirit and this baptism with the Holy Spirit was for all of us. It wasn't just for a select group. Now, I had a mentor that told me, he said, "If you don't stay behind that pulpit, I'm going to chain you to it." Okay, I'm not much of a pulpit type preacher. I like to get down. The only reason I go back up here is because I'm not smart enough to remember all my scriptures. Okay, because I like being down with the people. But we've had denominations that have split over this thing of thinking that the baptism with the Holy Spirit was just for an elite group. Nine, poo-poo, I got it, you don't. Folks, I grew up in a denomination that was a lot of the way that the denomination, even the leadership of that entire denomination, they may not have said it, Pastor, but they inferred it, is that we're just a little bit better than everybody else because we have this, and you. That's a bunch of malarkey. That's a bunch of noise. That's a bunch of nonsense is what that is. That doesn't line up with the Word of God. Okay? So that's not what that's talking about. That's not what that's talking about. The third thing here, or the third truth that I want to share with you, is the Holy Spirit's purpose. And His purpose is to carry out God's will, or to carry out God's Word through living vessels. Through you and I. And the Holy Spirit dwells, I'm going to show you some scripture here in just a second, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of each one of us as a Christian and as a believer. Over again in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 16, Paul told us, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you?" So if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you've got all the power. You've got that Holy Spirit down inside of you. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." And notice that's a capital S, which is indicative of the Holy Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit. "If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you." That's two different places. Give me about 10 minutes, I'll get you another two. Give me about an hour, and I'll get you 20 more places that the Bible says is that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to give you that power that we talked about over in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. And power to do what? Power to make right choices. Power to overcome temptations. Power to overcome the attacks of the enemy. John 10:10 principle that I talked to you about says that the enemy comes but for one reason, and that's to kill, steal, and destroy. But then the salvation is all wrapped up in that one verse right there. It says, "But Jesus Christ has come that we all might be saved Okay, he has come and given us everything that we need as Christians and as believers. We've got it down inside us. Okay, John chapter number 16 and verse number 8 says, "And when he," talking about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, "is come, he reproved the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." See, that power of the Holy Ghost that's down inside of me, it'll check me. It'll tell me the very moment, the very second that I sin, that I do things wrong, is that it will judge me. It will judge me. Pastor's not going to judge me. Dolores ain't going to judge me. Leela's not going to judge me. If they're trying to judge me, that's wrong. They're not the judge. God is the judge. But according to that scripture right there, is that he does it through the power of his Holy Spirit. See, we need to be judged, even as Christians and as believers, because sometimes we'll get off base and we'll be doing things that we shouldn't do. And we need to be brought back into line with the truths of his word and be brought back in line with what the word of God tells us to do. Okay? The fourth thing here. And I'm not going to get done tonight, but that's okay. We'll just stop here in just a few minutes. Is that, and this one is huge for Christians and believers, is that according to what the Bible says, is that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is an intercessor. Okay, an intercessor. And an intercessor is someone that will stand according to what the Word says over in Psalms. It says, is that God is looking for a man. Don't get gender specific on that. That word man means champion in the Greek and Hebrew. But he said, the Bible says in Psalms is that he's looking for a man to stand in the gap in between the dead and the living. In other words, to get in between you and the enemy. Or to get in between the enemy and God, that will stand in the gap and be an intercessor. If you could maybe figure this, is that there's a spiritual battle going on right now, even as Christians and as believers. And good is on one side and evil is on the other side. And if two of the strongest men in here right now would just come up here and grab one arm and grab the other arm and just pull as hard as they can, That's the spiritual battle that's going on for our souls right now. And the Bible says is that the Holy Spirit will be that intercessor for us. Okay? He is interceding for us. Man, we need somebody interceding for us as Christians, as believers. If we didn't have the power of that Holy Spirit that was interceding for us as Christians and as believers, I'll tell you what, the devil would have a heyday with us. The devil would just come and he would kill, steal, and destroy us just in no time at all. So the Bible says is that the Holy Spirit is an intercessor. Romans 8:26, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Have you ever had something that was just had you? Had you ever had something that I call it get your goat? Now I mean something. That's an agricultural term. I was born and raised on a farm, and some of these things that I say sometimes, people look at me and go, "What are you talking about?" But if something just gets your goat, it's something that just has really got you over a barrel. I mean, it's just really got you. You may have even prayed about it. You've thought about it. You've been laying it before the Lord for a long, long time, and just nothing got any better or nothing changed. Oh, come on, somebody. We've all been there before, okay? I was there last night, okay, just over a barrel, Pastor, on some things. But the Bible says is that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will be an intercessor that will help us to pray in ways that we don't even know how to pray. In other words, He'll intercede for us and pray a perfect prayer. And we all know that when we line God's will up with our will, is that He is bound by His own word to answer that prayer. But we got to get our will lined up with God's will. Notice I didn't say God's will lined up with our will. I said our will lined up with God's will. Okay, it's important that we understand that. Okay, I got about halfway through what I wanted to do, and it is 7 minutes till. So I'm just going to stop. Okay, Dolores, if you would, work your way back up there to the piano. Let's stand, if you would. Sometimes I preach, sometimes I teach. Tonight I taught. Okay, tonight I taught. Before I left the house, my wife told me, she said, "You going to behave yourself tonight?" I said, "I think so." I said, "I have every intention of not ruffling anybody's feathers or not getting too awful excited or jumping out of my skin, because I really felt like that I just wanted to teach you some truths and teach you some principles." Folks, this is all good and dandy, but if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, you ain't got no power. Okay? And the enemy's going to have a heyday with you. He's coming and he's going to kill, steal, and destroy. He's going to whoop up on you. He's going to work you over. So we got to get this salvation thing settled before we go any farther. Okay? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed here this evening, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and I'm not going to belabor this point very long here because I want to move forward. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, never had that first time salvation experience, just slip your hand up in here. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to do anything like that. I would never do that. I wouldn't want to hurt your feelings. But I'm more concerned about your spiritual well-being than I am your personal feelings. So if you've never been saved, just slip your hand up. And I want to lead you in a prayer here, and we're going to settle that matter, okay? Okay. As Christians and as believers, I believe there's some of us that are here tonight, as every head is still bowed and eyes are closed here tonight. I believe that you, as Christians and believers, is that you just need to know what this Word said. I believe that there was a lot of seed that was sowed into some people here tonight. And you say, "Pastor Doug, you hit me right between the eyes with a two before tonight, because I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, but I just don't have that power. I didn't realize that I had the power to overcome the temptations, to have the power to make the right decisions, to have the power to overcome sickness, to have the power to do what I need to do." If that's you here tonight, raise your hand. Yeah, I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Yeah, anybody else? I see your hand. I'm going to wait just a minute here. We got 2 or 3 minutes. I see your hand. I see your hand. Several hands on that. Okay? That's it. If you got your hand up in the air, step out and come down here right now. Step out. Come down right now. Come down here. Put your hand in my hand. Doesn't mean you're not saved. I'm just going to set my faith in agreement with you. Yeah, I'm going to set my faith in agreement. Pastor Johnny, would you maybe come help me here? Yeah, step on out. Step on out. I just want you to put your hand in my hand. And that means that you're setting your faith in agreement with me, and you're setting your faith in agreement with Pastor Johnny. The Bible says you don't have to have a lot of faith. The Bible says if you've got faith size the grain of a mustard seed, you can tell that mountain, "Be thou removed," and it has to go. It has to be cast into the sea. Father, I thank you, dear Lord. I thank you for these four that came down, dear Lord. Father, they're Christians. They're believers, dear Lord, by their own confession of their mouth this evening, dear Lord. But Father, they just need that power. They need that power to be able to overcome, that power to make decisions, dear Lord, that power to come against the enemy, dear Lord. Father, some of them may have that spirit of fear, but Father, they've not been given that spirit of fear, dear Lord, but they've been given that spirit of power. Father, those that maybe just making wrong decisions, dear Lord. Father, we've all made wrong decisions at one point in time, but I thank you for that power that's inside of me that I can start making right decisions, dear Lord. And Father, I thank you for it. Father, I thank you right now that you would just take it, that you would just lead and guide and direct us in the very way that you would want us to go. And Father, have these four that stepped out by faith, believing this evening, dear Lord, have them to know that their sins are as far as the east is from the west, never to be used against them again, dear Lord. And we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's do something before we leave here this evening. Everybody just grab a hold of the hand of the person beside you, and let's just all rededicate our lives here this evening as we close, and then we'll have a closing prayer. Everybody say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I know I've made some mistakes, and for that I'm sorry. From this day forward, you're my King of Kings. From this day on, you're my Lord of Lords. And God, I believe you raised Jesus from the dead. And because of that, I'm saved. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Now give the Lord a great big hand clap if you would. Okay, now just one final thing in closing here is that the devil is a liar. John 4:22 tells us that the devil is a liar. And he's going to come at you even before you get out of the parking lot tonight, probably. Okay? But you put him in his place. Okay? You've got that power inside you to put him in his place. Amen? And somebody tell Leland when he gets back that we saw a miracle tonight because Pastor Doug finished up right at 8 o'clock. Okay? We love y'all. We'll see y'all next Thursday.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.